Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman on your radio. Kirk Crosby's taking a break with his wife. Good family deserved break. We do that from time to time. We do believe in family. It's not just talk. We walk the walk, baby. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. This is indeed the broadcast for February the 16th in the year of our Lord 2017. This is our 2 of 2, and the goal always is to reject revolution but stand for restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We're convinced the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, is inspired and is the solution to liberty. The balance between tyrannical government and absolute anarchy can be achieved. The proper role of limited government via the supreme law of the land, if we would adhere to thereto. The founding fathers, brilliant in their delivery of the checks and balances, ladies and gentlemen, and that's what we need to restore the republic. We need to reject revolution, but stand for making America great again. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Kurt will be with us tomorrow, by the way. By the way, a quick update that I find fascinating. One of our good friends and fellow talk show hosts that we syndicate on libertynewsradio.com and across radio stations, on radio stations across this land, is our buddy Chris Ann Hall, well-known talk show host, well-known author, speaker, former prosecutor, military veteran. The list goes on and on of her credentials. But anyway, great friend. She emailed me, and she says, Sam, just wanted you to know this. Press release, C-SPAN, to air Chris Ann Hall's Constitution class. Did you hear what I just said? C-SPAN is going to be airing Chris Ann Hall's constitutional class. This is tremendous news, folks, as more and more people start to understand the sacred cause of liberty and more people hear the message. We are so honored that C-SPAN will be airing my class. Since it's the duty of every state in the union to operate their own independent, sovereign constitutional republic. Please find attached the press release with all relevant details. Thank you for also your support. Blessings, Chris Ann. Wow. Let's have James Edwards, the politicalcesspool.org talk show host as well, jumping on the broadcast with me today. Chime in on this. Hi, James.
Hey, Sam, you know, your listeners sometimes get me once a month, sometimes twice in 2 days. It's great to be with you after that enthralling discussion we had just yesterday morning. And listening to your excellent news and report, my eyes widened a little bit to hear that C-SPAN's going to be airing Chris Ann Hall's commentary. That actually led me to something that Keith Alexander, one of my co-hosts, and I were talking about at lunch the other day, and we were talking about this yesterday also on your program. Trump needs to reach out to friendly media. This was something that we discussed to some length in the second hour of Liberty Roundtable Live yesterday morning.
Yeah, it's NPR, been, by the way, a theme that I've been hammering on for literally ever since Donald Trump even announced. I've been saying he's got to endorse friendly media. He's got to change the game and stop the gatekeeping thugs. He's got to.
Only so much he can do with an entrenched opposition that he has in places like CNN and some of the...
Uh-oh, we're losing James here. we'll try to get James back there. Hopefully that'll square itself away. But
a
yeah,
publicly taxpayer subsidized entity. Am I right?
Well, we've got to reject those and just defund them, James.
Well, you could do that, or you could clean out the house of the anti-American, anti-Trump ilk at NPR and replace them with people like Sam Bushman, with people like Chris Ann Hall. If this is a taxpayer, and I'm sure it is, NPR, National Public Radio, I believe that as a taxpayer, it's sort of like PBS, a taxpayer-funded entity. One of your listeners can email
them
in and
correct me if I'm wrong.
Hold on,
they have some taxpayer money. They also have private foundations that support them. They play games. They're not allowed to really have sponsors, and the rules are with relating to the nonprofit things that they've got to not pitch product or delivery of action is what it's called, that you can't have a call to action. But they do that all the time. They tell people to go to a website, and that alone is a call to action. So they
well,
skirt the rules, but a lot of it's government money.
NPR is so left-wing it makes CNN look like Liberty News Radio. So what I'm asking is, and this is just I'm just asking because, again, as I just said, I haven't dug into it with a lot of depth, but is that something where Trump could have some sway in who the presenters are or not?
Yes, he could. He could certainly do that. Part of the problem is, and this is the issue that Donald's brought up over and over and over, is that what you get is these independent organizations that somehow act like their creator can't change the game. So they're entrenched with so many regulations and rules and guidelines and mandates and fundings, and to where they have their own agencies and their own bureaucratic teams that become judge, jury, and executioner. And at some point, they pretend they're autonomous and that government can't rein them in, which is a lie. But I bring that all up to say that, you know, Congress could defund them in about 2 seconds. The House of Representatives doesn't even need the Senate to do that. They could have Donald Trump put an executive order calling a halt to the scandal, saying that it's partisan and that it's belligerent and liberal and extreme and hostile to the Republic. There's a lot of things that could be done.
Well,
but I don't hear Donald doing anything about any of it.
Well, I mean, again, and to his defense, he's still a couple of days shy of 1 month in office. I guess there's only so many things you can tackle in a matter of a few days. But what about PBS? Now, that's, of course, similar to NPR. What about the public broadcasting system? Can we get Liberty Roundtable, a live video feed, and place a Sesame Street on that? Does Trump have any, with the government, the Congress, Trump administration, have any say on what goes on over those things? And again, this all comes back to Trump needing to work with friendly media. And of course, your announcement about C-SPAN carrying Chris Ann Hall's class is what kind of prompted this. It's sort of related, but not entirely. Could Trump do something with PBS, for instance, and put on some America First, liberty-loving programming on that for a change?
Well, they're great questions. A lot could be done. I personally don't believe the government belongs in the media at all in the first place. I don't believe that we can have an independent press with government competition. In other words, I'm paying to fund and maintain Liberty News Radio. And thank heavens for those who are sponsoring and helping to do that. But my point is, I'm paying for that, and I'm paying for NPR and PBS and all these other government entities. Why should I pay to compete with myself, right?
I agree with you 100% on that in principle. I guess it's just human nature. I become a little bit more Machiavellian when our people are in power. but hey, today's ideas are a little less extreme than yesterday's, when I was advocating for Trump to bring back the Alien and Sedition Act and put Congress in jail. So we're just throwing out all kinds of things from mild to wild here on Liberty News Radio.
Yeah, all I'm saying is that we've got to keep in mind that what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And the principles need to remain front and center. Look, I'm not saying that I wouldn't prefer a more balanced delivery on NPR. If that's our only choice, then I agree. I'm not against saying, all right, if we've got a chance to have choice in education, then let's have choice in education. But see, I'd rather just abolish the education department, and I'd rather just not have any funding for any government radio of any kind. The free market's more than capable of taking care of it. And if my tax burden becomes less, my ability to grow increases. It's that simple.
Well, of course, look, if these mechanisms are going to be in place, Trump would be better off having people who are supportive of his agenda, which overlaps with ours in a heck of a lot more ways than the Obama agenda did. He's better off having people like us in there, or maybe even we're too hot for the Trump administration, but maybe he would be better having off some people like Chris Ann Hall, for instance, than the people that are on there. If we have to have these institutions. But of course, a slash and burn of the needless government bureaucracy would be, of course, welcomed by yours truly as well, to say the least. And all of these asinine programs that are not constitutionally mandated and certainly are a drain on the citizens' resources that we'd be better off without. And in fact, you know, these organizations, the Department of Education, NPR, PBS, they're all working against the American people anyway.
Right. What do we do about it, you think?
Well, I like the slash and burn. I mean, certainly defunding and getting rid of the Department of Education. Getting rid of the Department of Education was a conservative tenet, or at least they pretended it to be, all the way up until, I guess, nearly the Bush the Second's administration. Getting rid of the Department of Education was a no-brainer if we ever had control of the presidency and the Congress. And, of course, once we had control of the presidency and Congress and presumably the Supreme Court, of course, that never was the case. But you had, of course, a majority of Republican-appointed justices. Well, these were some of the things that were going to get done. Well, they never got done, did they?
That's the problem. And the problem that I see is Republicans don't seem to want to get it done. Let me give you some quick examples to make the point. You know, the Republicans voted like 40-something times in the House to get rid of Obamacare when Barack Hussein was in office, knowing full well that it would get shut down, right?
Sure, of course. Yeah, yes, that's the game.
I don't see them voting to shut it down now that we might actually have a chance to get that done.
Well, Trump may be able to put some spine and some backbone into some of these squids, into some of these jellyfish.
That
maybe
is our prayer. No doubt
maybe
about it.
We'll find out.
All right, I'll give you some more examples when we come back, too. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a row to hoe when it comes to fighting for liberty. Even with Donald in office doing a lot of great things, he better get backing from the people, folks.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, so Donald Trump literally, through executive order, said, hey, you know what, the IRS, question 60, or line 61 on your form, people don't have to answer that anymore, effectively gutting Obamacare, because now there's not really an accountability, there's no way for the IRS to enforce. Hopefully the IRS doesn't look at all those forms, though, with people not filling out that line and deciding to just audit everybody who didn't fill out that line. We need Congress to back the president on this, folks, and that's really where I see the problem. But Trump promises massive tax code reform. Senate Republicans lining up against border tax. So what you got is you got an attack on everything we hold dear, everything that Donald's trying to do, by our own supposed team, James. And I bring that up because we really need to work on this. Let me give you an example. Kellyanne Conway is being attacked like no other. Now they're literally blatantly refusing to have Kellyanne on their shows. They're attacking her credibility. What do you say to that?
Well, we talked about this a little bit at the end of yesterday's show as well, Sam. She gets a very benign tweet saying, Happy Valentine's Day, we love you. She retweets it, says, love you back. And then, of course, the journalists who are out there, so-called journalists. I actually did an interview last week with someone on the topic of journalistic ethics. It's a reporter who, it's a freelance reporter, but she's been published in Washington Post and in a lot of other places. And I mean, there, of course, exists no such thing as journalistic ethics. Journalists today, reporters today, do not concern themselves at all with being objective or reporting both sides of the story. They could care less about the who, what, where, when, and why. They see their jobs as to be the enforcers of political correctness, and they oppose Trump no matter what he does and anybody associated with Trump. They oppose them no matter what they do or what they say. And in this case with Kellyanne Conway retweeting this person who, according to their picture, their profile picture on Twitter, it looks to be a young college girl, a good-looking, clean-cut, if it is in fact them. Of course, just because you put a profile picture doesn't mean that's who you are, but that's who it appears to be. And anyway, the so-called journalists, the so-called reporters, went through this person's Twitter feed because Kellyanne Conway had retweeted them just the way they did with Donald Trump and Donald Trump Jr. and anyone else associated with the campaign during the election cycle last year. And they found something on this Twitter profile that said something about whites. They support identity for whites. And then in another post, there was the word nationalist. And so, oh my goodness, there you have it. It's a Nazi, is the conclusion. And Kellyanne Conway retweets white supremacist was the headline. And so this is where we're at. And so now Kellyanne, for whatever reason, is getting blackballed by the establishment press. Trump has got, I mean, it would be hard for him to really go to war with the press anymore, rhetorically speaking, than he has. But you're talking about trying to make America great again, trying to stop 100 years of decline. In the last 50 or so, the decline has been catastrophic. Perhaps it will never be made great again because of the social and moral rot that's set in this country. Not only have we abandoned the principles of our founding fathers, we've turned away from God, and that's a lot for any president to unpack in 4 years, especially when you have half of the government against you and all of the media against you. That's going to be tough. Trump is going to have to get radical. And, of course, a legal and law-abiding and constitutionally sound way, but he's really going to have to get radical with the press and a lot of these subversives.
Best ways he can get radical with the press is to really allow people that are favorable and friendly and kind and honorable, who are willing to tell the who, what, when, where, why of a story. He needs to give them carte blanche capabilities. And so, for example, I can't even get a hold of anybody at the Trump administration these days, hardly.
Well, this is it. So you're cutting off your nose to spite your face. Why would he not want to reach out? And I'll say this again, and I don't think it can be said enough because I think it was certainly earned. You're talking about a radio network right here. Your show, my show, Sam, this network, the other broadcasts that are carried on this network, syndicated by this network. You're talking about a network who was listed as one of the top 25, their words not mine, right-wing media outlets responsible for Trump. There we were, along with Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, Ann Coulter, Rush Limbaugh. Why would Donald Trump not want to reach out to someone who supported him? We had this conversation yesterday, supported him for the most part. Of course, that doesn't mean we're acolytes or sycophants. If Trump did something we didn't like, and certainly that was the case in some regards, we would voice that as well. But why not reach out to friendly media? You have the entire establishment media behind you. Why not reach out to media who, number one, helped you, and number two, wants to be a part of the team now, wants to be part of the solution? Why not reach out to that media? What are they going to do, call you a racist? I think they're doing that no matter what you do anyway, for reasons real and imagined.
I just don't quite understand it because of the difference we can make. Because, again, you could say, well, Sam, you're so small, it doesn't matter. They like to mock us with that. But I like to laugh and say, then why on earth would you attack us so relentlessly? Why do we have so many high-level surrogates on the radio with us? Why is it so important? But even if we're small, You know, by small things, great things shall be accomplished would be my phrase. And then I would say this. Even if we can't move the needle on the media ourselves, our reporting forces them to move the needle. So in other words, it's kind of like a door swings on hinges, a very small center. But the effects are great. It's kind of like that. You know, we may not be able to just report something and move the needle by our reporting because they say nobody watches or listens or whatever. But we can force them to move the needle because otherwise they get left behind and become more and more and more irrelevant. Donald, with the flick of a wrist, could make that happen in 2 seconds. And not just me, but you and what, several hundred of us? They can't stop us, James.
According to some major media outlets, we're one of the top 25 entities responsible for Trump. According to others, we don't exist, yet we're in the press every week vis-a-vis Trump. So the truth is probably somewhere in the middle of all of that. But the bottom line is this. Obviously, we have a presence, or we wouldn't be reported on, Sam. Everybody knows that. And we were reported on incessantly, literally every week last year, and still to this day, it's very common. We were just offered an opportunity to be featured in a History Channel documentary a few days ago. So the press knows we're out there, and they know we're players, and they know we're well-known, and so they reach out to us, and we don't play ball with them a lot. But you look at the surrogates that you had on with the Trump campaign. Every one of those interviews was probably – now, this was Sam Bushman, not me, so I'm not patting myself on the back, but this is giving credit where credit is due. All of those interviews with the dozens of surrogates that you had, high-level surrogates, top campaign surrogates that you had last year in the lead-up to Election Day, were probably the best and most fair interviews that they fielded all year. All year, and all any of them have to do is remember that, or all anybody in the Trump administration has to do is go back and listen to any of those interviews, and they will understand that Sam Bushman is a professional and that these are the people. Look, you're at a war with the press. The press is, to some extent, a gatekeeper to the information that is disseminated to the American public. You have to have people who are on your side or at least objective in there. Trump doesn't have either of those things right now. So put Sam Bushman on NPR. Put him on PBS. Put him in the White House brief room. See how much the thing can grow. And there's no reason Trump can't do that.
I think it's me. I think it's James. I think it's a bunch of us working together. Let me give you an example. The Freedom Coalition is something that we literally started, 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, something like that, 3 weeks ago maybe?
Oh, yeah, sure.
2.5 weeks ago. And I want to just tell you the last couple of names that have signed on in the last couple of days, James. You may not have even gone to the page and seen. But we have Michael Connelly. He's a constitutional lawyer, an author. He's a talk show host, and he was the constitutional attorney for 4 years for the U.S. Justice Foundation. Jordan Page, American singer, songwriter, and musician. Judy Boyle, Idaho State Representative. Kevin O'Neill, communications chair, Libertarian Party of Hillsborough County, Florida. Now listen, John W. Whitehead, attorney and president of the Rutherford Institute, John Whitehead, not to mention author of Battlefield America. Now you ready for this? Tom Woods. Tom Woods is senior fellow of the Mises Institute and author of a dozen books, most recent, Real Dissent. Liberty Roundtable Live, James Edwards in seconds.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Tamara Crow Chief, an Indian citizen of Canada, exclaimed, "I hate white people," as she attacked a woman named Lydia White outside a pub in Calgary last November. The victim lost a tooth in what was described as an unprovoked attack. According to witness accounts, White was standing outside the pub talking to another person when Crow Chief, apropos of nothing, walked up to her, yelled, "I hate white people," and punched her in the face. "I still get angry when I think about it," White said in a recent court hearing. I don't understand why this woman did this. I never did anything to her, never even spoke with her. When police located Crow Chief, she complained that the white man was out to get her, but didn't explain what that had to do with an unprovoked attack on a white female stranger. Given that Crow Chief herself described the crime as motivated by racial prejudice, the assault seems like one perfectly suited for penalty enhancement under Canada's hate crimes statute. Provincial Court Judge Harry Van Harten, however, ruled that the unambiguous expression of intent on the part of the assailant doesn't count as evidence. The offender said, "I hate white people," and threw a punch, the judge explained during the sentencing hearing. There is no evidence either way about what the offender meant. I am not satisfied beyond a reasonable doubt that this offense was, even in part, motivated by racial bias. The judge, insisting that the 6 months served by Crow Chief in pretrial detention was a sufficient term of incarceration, gave her 12 months probation and ordered her to undergo psychological counseling. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, there's a bunch of news reporters that have reported something fascinating. They're all calling it an exclusive, but multiple people are reporting on it, so it's hardly called an exclusive in my opinion. However, the Daily Caller reporting it as well. Exclusive. The FBI removed SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, resources pages from the FBI's website over a number of concerns. Did you see this, James?
I have not read this, but of course, many, many of my listeners have sent me this email telling me about this with a great degree of exuberance.
Now, they say it was removed from the source pages of the Civil Rights Division. This was done a couple of years ago, they claim. And they say that at the time of the removal, it was because the groups themselves were not government-run rather than a disagreement with what they're doing. Upon review, the Civil Rights Program only provides links to resources within the federal government, an FBI spokesman articulated. We appreciate the tremendous support we receive from a variety of organizations, but we've elected to not identify those groups on our pages. Now, I think that's good. However, here's where I kind of think, what do you want to say? The mainstream press gets a little too belligerent. The right-wing watch people are saying now it isn't that way. They're saying it's not what you think it is. That no, it's Media Matters, I guess. No, the FBI has not ditched the Southern Poverty Law Center, writes Media Matters. Now, Media Matters is a George Soros, Hillary Clinton rag. Online. I guess you could call it a new media rag. The blog is written back in 2014. I bring this all up because this is something that we've got to change, James. You say, well, Sam, this is old news. No, it's not. Because it's more relevant now that we have Donald and can actually do something about it, and Republicans that can actually change the game. We've got more of an opportunity now than we've ever had. But they write in this blog, this guy named Carlos for Media Matters writes it. And it says, conservative news outlets are hyping a minor website change to suggest that the FBI is distancing itself from the Southern Poverty Law Center, SPLC. That's a group that supposedly monitors hate speech and violent actions. But the FBI issued a statement debunking that narrative, publicly touts its partnership with the SPLC on its website. Anyway, it goes on. But there we have it. We need to end these relationships and these situations where the Southern Poverty Law Center, they're the only one that builds a hate list. They're the only one that literally manipulates facts and attacks people with an agenda. Okay, where do we go from here? Donald has got to do something about that, James.
Well, obviously, the ironic thing is, and this isn't news to this audience, but the SPLC is the hate group. So their monitoring of hate groups is quite the joke. Everybody's on that list that's of any worth. In fact, if you're not on the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate watch list, you need to probably reassess what you're doing because you're not doing it well enough. We're on there, Sam. You're on there. I'm on there. James Dobson's on there. American Research, Family Research Council, American Family Association. Basically, any Bible-believing group is on there. And to be sure, they sprinkle in a couple of thugs in there as well to make it look somewhat believable. But this did get resuscitated again, even though there was some hubbub about them being taken off the list of resources a couple of years ago. It's been brought up again. Apparently, Donald Trump is taking off a lot of the, or the Trump administration is scrubbing a lot of the so-called white radical groups. I guess maybe something along the lines of the Council of Conservative Citizens, completely law-abiding, God-fearing, middle American conservatives. Maybe he's taking some of these off the list of groups to be watched and actually putting on there, I don't know, legitimate, violent Muslim extremist terrorists on the group. And that made some news a few days ago that Trump was removing a lot of these ridiculous people that were on there and were putting legitimate threats to the American people on there. And I think somehow in that commentary, the SPLC got brought back up. But I do think that you will see a shift in the Trump administration, to be sure.
I agree. I mean, my advice to Donald, though, is to reject the SPLC. They're fraudulent, to reject the ADL, and to stand for liberty and freedom. And the FBI ought to be under serious scrutiny as well. But this is interesting, too, James. Neo-Nazis blame the Jews for Michael Flynn's resignation, says Media Matters. What do you say to that?
Well, I'd have to go read the article. Media Matters normally has something about us on there about once a week, so I take everything with a grain of salt. I'd like to know exactly who the neo-Nazis are. Now, if you have a picture and footage and IDs that can corroborate these people's identity, and they're not paid actors, and they're marching around in jack boots with swastikas on their foreheads, then maybe I'd think that they are a legitimate neo-Nazi. I've never actually, for all the news about neo-Nazis, all the news that neo-Nazis make, I've never actually met one. A lot of the people who are called neo-Nazis are probably people I go to church with. But anyway, I'd have to read that. It sounds, of course, offhand like more nonsense, but hey, who knows? I mean, maybe there is a guy somewhere on the corners of the internet who claims to be a neo-Nazi who took issue with the dismissal of General Flynn. And if that happened, is that national news? Is that news at all? I mean, is that news that would be reported on, that somebody on the internet that no one's ever met that claims to be a neo-Nazi, Is that news to report on, that he took issue or had something to say about Michael Flynn? No, that's not news at all. And that's if, in fact, it's legitimate. Otherwise, it's just more made-up stuff where a conservative Christian activist is called a neo-Nazi because, hey, everybody's called that now.
I find
But it just goes to show this, too. This, too, Sam, with the SPLC, again, going back to our discussion in the previous segment, unless Trump gets objective reporters and journalists to surround his administration, all of this news that comes out. So Flynn gets, there's some controversy about Flynn. I don't really think that's much of a big deal. We can talk about that if you want to. But apparently Flynn's going to step down, or has stepped down. And the reports you get are neo-Nazis blame the Jews for Flynn. I mean, that has nothing to do with this story whatsoever. But you're going to continue to get this news like that and stories like that coming out of anything relating to the Trump administration. It's going to be filtered through this anti-Trump ridiculous lens that the establishment press has become, unless he surrounds himself with decent people in that White House brief room. And it just goes back to the old adage, you can lead a horse to water, Donald Trump, but you can't make Trump drink. He knows who the good guys are, and unless he puts them in there, you can't really help him.
Well, so neo-Nazis blame the Jews for Michael Flynn's resignation. The next headline, even on Media Matters itself, and I bring this up because it's interesting, Eric Erickson defends Trump calling only on right-wing media because mainstream media is pitching or promoting a pro-Nazi narrative. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, Eric Erickson, he really shot himself in the foot way, way back early in the primaries when he disinvited Donald Trump from speaking at his Red State confab because of some violation of political correctness that the media was claiming Trump had committed at that particular time. Now, this was even before,
I believe.
Yeah,
the point that we want to get at here, though, is that, you know what? The mainstream is pushing this, quote, Nazi narrative. They're acting like anybody who's not a liberal media backer sympathizer or advocate or whatever you want to say. And the headline above it makes sense. Neo-Nazis blame the Jews. Well, they say that, but, you know, who are they? So they got some weird whacked out person that, you know, every group's got a whacked out person in a back room, and they call that the Nazi movement, calling, you know, blaming Jews for this. And then, hey, the mainstream is pushing this Nazi narrative. Everybody's a Nazi, except for if you're liberal and you're pro-death and you want to destroy America and you love Hillary, and anybody else who does anything else is considered a Nazi now.
Yeah, it's gotten so far off the rails. It's gotten so far off the rails, and I believe somebody said this recently. I mean, they use this ammunition on everyone, so it's rendered moot when it's actually applicable. But you're right. Anybody that's not for the culture of death, for homosexual marriage, for murdering babies, for mass illegal immigration from terrorist states and other ports of call in the third world, if you're not for the whole left-wing program, then you're a Nazi. I mean, Trump's a Nazi. Kellyanne Conway's a Nazi. Flynn's a Nazi. We're Nazis. I mean, it's just gotten to the point, it's beyond absurd. It's beyond absurd. But again, until Trump actually takes action against the press, why are these people even allowed in the White House briefing room anymore? You know it's never going to change. It was this way throughout the entire campaign. It's been this way every step he's made so far in the month he's been in office. And it will be this way for as long as he's in office. Why even give them a seat at the table? They don't deserve it.
Well, and not only that, they're hostile. They border, as you wisely said yesterday, on treason. I don't know that I'd call it treason. That's a high bar, but they're bordering on damage to the point where, you know what? Why even give them a seat at the table to do their dastardly deeds and undermine everything going on? Quick,
we need to have that debate.
Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes. In fact, my brother, he's 22 now. He told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, you know, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to, you know, watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's advanced distance education program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right. James wants to have this debate. Boy, do I agree it needs to happen. Now, let me give you a headline to start off this quick discussion here, James. The Wall Street Journal's in the news.
Right.
And the Wall Street Journal is pointing out something vital. First off, the Wall Street Journal CEO basically said, you know what, you reporters that aren't going to be fair on Trump, you're out of here. Take a walk. We're not playing this game of political agendas. We're going to report the news as we see it. I hope he's telling the truth. But the reason that I bring this up now to head off this discussion or this debate is this, James. Headline from the Wall Street Journal says this. Sensitive intelligence material is being withheld from Donald Trump. They say that he's not responsible enough with it. So U.S. intelligence officials are withholding information from Donald Trump over concerns that the president cannot be trusted with the sensitive intelligence information. Now, that's tyrannical. That's unacceptable. Who do these people think they are? Who do they think they work for? These people need to be fired on the spot. They need to be given their God-given rights of due process, but these people need to be tossed in the clink. This does border on treason now.
I was just about to say, is that treason, Sam?
Yes, sir.
People
and I'll tell you why. You cannot undermine the commander-in-chief militarily. He can just toss you in the clink and say, you know what? You're nuts on parade. You're crazy. Who do you think is in charge of this country? Who do you think is responsible for the freest nation on the planet? And so I'm telling you right now, rhetoric is not treason. But when you literally withhold information that could put America in harm's way, and it's reported by the Wall Street Journal. Now we're talking different discussion, James.
Well, it all needs to be put on the table. I think, again, and for, going back to what you said about the Wall Street Journal, I mean, we had some run-ins with them last year, too, and quite unfavorable. So if they are going to treat Trump fairly, and again, all we're talking about is objectivity and fairness. We're not talking about everybody needs to be in the tank for Trump like they were in with Hillary.
And by the way, I'm not to prove the point, but I'm fair.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely, you're a sterling example of that, Sam. And of course, I took issue with a lot of Trump's activities during the transition. And of course, since he's been in office, I've been much more favorable based upon the results that he's given. But if the Wall Street Journal does treat him...
And by the way, so have I, because it's the only fair, right thing to do.
Sure. And if the Wall Street Journal takes our approach, they'd be the first to do so. Of course, talk is cheap. We'll have to monitor their reporting going forward. But last year's experiences with the Wall Street Journal, and we had some personal experiences with them, were par for the course, and that's not good. Now, as far as Trump and treason, obviously what's going on here in some of these intelligence administrations, based upon your report, I think you can make a pretty convincing case. As for the other stuff, sometimes rhetoric can be treason too, and I just think Trump needs to begin to paint a picture. Begin to put this. Obviously, if all of a sudden you have journalists and members of Congress, I think members of Congress could certainly be held to the standard of treason more easily than journalists with the freedom of speech laws that we have in this country. Although one of the things that Trump said he would consider doing when he was candidate Trump was loosening the libel laws that protect the corrupt establishment press.
And I think that needs to be done yesterday.
Absolutely. I mean, of course, we're engaged in litigation right now. I'm a plaintiff in a lawsuit against the Detroit News for libel, saying that I'm a leader of the Ku Klux Klan. And so, yes, some of that needs to happen. Of course, the defense that the defendants are giving us in our case that's still meandering through the courts is that, oh, well, it's freedom of speech. We can say he's the leader of the Klan because we're constitutionally protected to do that. At some point, you actually do cross into libel, even with public figures such as myself and you and even Trump. Anyway, but that's not treason. That's just libel. But I think Trump needs to start dropping some hints that some rash actions, legally rash actions, mind you, could be forthcoming. If you have 4 years, all the establishment press has to do, along with their those in Congress who aid and abet them, is just run out the clock. Trip up Trump enough, create enough false scandals like we're seeing with General Flynn here. And 4 years will go by pretty fast if you keep tripping him up. And the only way he's going to be able to avoid being tripped up week by week is if he lowers the hammer.
Well, by the way, it's only 2 years though, James, because you can get enough lies and enough manipulation going in the rally cry and put a lot of liberal money behind an agenda, and in 2 years get a third of the House of Representatives against the Donald, and then the next 2 years are even easier. So we really only have 2 years of serious time.
Because in 2 years, you've got the midterms. That's an excellent point, Sam. Very well, very, very appropriate that you bring that up. In 2 years, you've got the midterms. If the Republicans lose the majority, then it's over. And then, of course, Trump's running for re-election anyway. So you have to start making plans to run for office again. So right now is his gravy time. He's got a year. He's got a year to really set the stage. And I don't think he could have gone much harder in his first month than what he's done. Really tackling the Muslim ban, tackling the wall. These were some of the hardest things he was going to have to put forth. And he tackled them right out of the gate, along with many other things that you've been covering and I've been covering as well. But with regard to his opposition, he's got to get fierce. He's got to do everything he can, legally speaking, to put these people in their place, or they're just going
to
waste enough time.
And when they start to literally withhold information from the President of the United States, the elected President of the United States, one of the three branches of the proper role of limited government based on the supreme law, when they start literally undermining that, that's treason. Withholding information from him, how can he then be accountable for decisions made? They're claiming that he's not safe with the information. My response is, are we safer without the commander-in-chief having
the American people trusted. The bottom line is this. It doesn't matter what these people think. It doesn't matter what the press thinks. The American people trusted Donald Trump to take this position that comes with, of course, the authority to handle these types of situations. The American people trust Trump to be in that position. And so who are these other people who are funded by their tax dollars to say differently? So, that being said, and of course, if Trump does take action against these people in these intelligence communities who are withholding information, of course, how it'll be presented by the press is round and round we go. Oh, it's a meltdown at the Trump administration.
Not if they let guys like us stand up and report the truth so transparently that they're forced to come to the table for discussion.
Well, and here's how Trump would do it, Sam. Hypothetically, theoretically, however you want to say it, it could actually be not just theory but practice. Trump says all of these fake news organizations like CNN and MSNBC, they're all out. If you want to know what's going on in the Trump administration, you need to tune into Alex Jones. You need to tune into the Liberty News Radio Network. You need to tune into these people. These are the people that I'm trusting to be gatekeepers.
Wow.
With news for this information. That's how he would do it. You clean out the White House press room. You clean out the briefing room. And you put in the people. And then you say, if you want to know what's going on in my administration, here's the list of media that we are giving access to. And these are the people and the outlets you need to go to.
And
now,
that happened
tomorrow.
If that happened, we would be draining the swamp where people would have to report bureaucrats are circling the drain.
then people have to go to our websites or else they're not going to be getting the news straight from the horse's mouth, because we would be the only ones in the briefing room to pass along
and,
the knowledge of
what's
happening.
And by the way,
and Trump could do that. Trump could do that, Sam, right now.
I'm not advocating, by the way, we'd be the only ones in the room. What I'm advocating for is that when somebody is you know, got a record of telling the truth, then they get access. When they got a record of absolutely perverting and lying, then they lose access.
And if people like the Wall Street Journal, no, well, I'm sorry to interrupt, but if the people like the Wall Street Journal can prove that they can be responsible, they can come in too, and others as well. Obviously, not just us. I just used us as an example.
I bring that up though. I bring that up because I want people to understand we are fair. It's not about just our guys, our people. We're tyrannical once we get in power. We got to make sure people understand that's not the case. We just want the truth.
Well, and Trump could do all that tomorrow. I mean, we're just spitballing here. We're trying to offer some ideas out to the administration. They can take them or leave them, but it's not because people aren't out here having this conversation about what Trump can do to better his position to make America great again. Trump could clean out the White House briefing room tomorrow. And he's already, of course, given, I think, credentials, White House credentials to Alex Jones and has banned some others throughout his campaign and since. So this is something Trump could do without any act of Congress, without anyone else weighing in at all, except for the head honcho. The buck stops there. He could do that. He could revamp that White House briefing room today.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got to get that going on. We got to get it done yesterday. And I know this. There are Trump people listening. I know for a fact. And I know the haters of Trump are listening. I know for a fact. And they can pretend we don't matter. But oftentimes we come up with an idea or a focus or a directive that we talk about or an idea, a solution. And before you know it, it hits the mainstream. We don't get credit for it. That's okay. But I'm telling you right now, this is the incubator. When bright minds come alive and together, this is the genius of America live on your radio, James.
Time and time again, Sam Bushman. And that's why what we do, and ladies and gentlemen, please understand what we do here is entirely listener supported. We didn't work all the way up to the end of this hour to give a pitch, but we don't have advertisers, corporate America advertisers like the big boys do, but we are mentioned in the same conversation with them time and time and time again. And so we are listener supported and we're here every day. Sam's here 5 days a week. I take the weekend shift. We leave the Sabbath day for the Lord, but the other 6 days you've got live programming coming to you from this network. That's a result of your benevolence and your generosity. So please support libertyroundtable.com, and we're going to continue to offer solutions and hopefully be put into an even greater position than God's given us already to enact those solutions.
I'm going to tease a headline right now for tomorrow's show, ladies and gentlemen. Do y'all remember who Ben Swan is? Well-known reporter from Cincinnati. Ben Swan, he brought back the Pizzagate story about the pizza company involved in pornography and scandals and child porn and sex rings and everything else. Well, the mainstream press shut it down, dismissed it as nothing. But the truth is, there's more to that than meets the eye. Ben Swan reported on it on a big news station. And it turns out that now something's happened to Ben, and he's shut down all of his media accounts and his website.
Wow. Wow.
I'll give you more on that tomorrow. How's that, ladies and gentlemen? Because you are listening to Liberty Roundtable live. Support us, libertyroundtable.com, libertynewsradio.com. Thanks.